Om Shanti. Baba has said that Bhagavad Gita is the most important scripture of all the scriptures. It's the mother and father of all the other scriptures. And this Bhagavad Gita starts with a dialogue between Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya, where Dhritarashtra says, Dharmakshetra Kurukshetre, what is happening? Oh Sanjaya, tell me, what is happening on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? This pilgrimage place, he is saying, this is Dharmakshetra, religious place. What is happening between my sons and the sons of Pandu who have assembled on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? And then Sanjaya starts. It's as if a live commentary. He is the first live commentator, Sanjaya, where there are on the battlefield multiple matches are being played, probably the longest one day or the test match played ever, with lot of things happening on the field. So this Sanjaya has that divine vision, divine intellect. And with that divine vision, he can see, not only see, but he can hear also what is actually happening on that battlefield of Kurukshetra. And this Sanjaya has got a very important part in entire Mahabharata, and especially in this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, because he is the only person who saw, other than Arjuna. Arjuna heard the Bhagavad Gita directly from Shri Krishna, as is told in scriptures, as is told in Mahabharata, and Sanjaya is the next person who heard it, also saw the cosmic form of Shri Krishna when Shri Krishna shows that form to Arjuna. So this Sanjaya has got five different duties in entire Mahabharata. First, he was a negotiator. He was sent by Dhritarashtra on the other side before the battle to give the message of this blind king. Not compromise, because it was a very bitter message. The message was that we are not going to give you the land. So this message, he thought this is the only person who is fit to carry the message. So he was a negotiator, one. Second, he was a charioteer. Charioteer of the blind Dhritarashtra. Because when the earlier charioteer, who was the earlier person who was there when he retires, who was the father of Karna and Angirath. So when he goes on an adoption leave, he wants to look after his son, so he wants to retire. So this new person was appointed, Sanjaya, by Bhishma, by Kripacharya, and one more guru, so Dronacharya. So these people appoint this new person, and he was very clever. So his first duty was, he was a negotiator. Second duty was, he was a charioteer. Third, he was the listener and observer of Bhagavad Gita. Third and fourth, not only that, he was the reciter of Bhagavad Gita, because it is from his mouth, other than Shri Krishna, for the first time it came out from the mouth of Sanjaya, because he recited it. And last, counselor, because he was the person who conveyed the news of death of 100 sons to Dhritarashtra. It was a very difficult thing. So he had this five different duties Dhritarashtra has, this Sanjaya has got. And this Sanjaya is bestowed with this divine vision. There are multiple theories. So one theory says that it was Vyasa who gives this vision to Sanjaya, so that he can narrate everything that is happening on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to Dhritarashtra. So he is one of those fortunate souls who got the opportunity to see what is happening, to hear what is happening, and also to recite what is happening. He was the charioteer of the blind king. Now Baba has said that this about Jagdish Bhai, and he was named Sanjaya. The earliest book of Yajna, the real Gita, Sachi Gita, where Jagdish Bhai has written his name as J.C. Sanjoy, as if it is being written in Bengali. Sanjoy, he has written J.C. Sanjoy, such a name is written, probably to keep himself hidden, probably to hide his identity. He has written his name like that. I have that original copy of in English. So he was that fortunate soul and who was given this title, this name of being a Sanjay. Why? Because he had that divine intellect or divine vision which was given by God himself. And with this divine vision, he could see so many things and he could do so many things in this yajna. Probably one of the foremost of the Brahma Kumars, or the most, you can say, original jewel of service. Or he was the first in many, many things who started in this, who started services in yajna. So today, he was born in Multan, which is at present in Pakistan, on 10th September 1929, and he left his mortal coil on 12th May 2001. So today is that day, and today is the Smriti Divas of Jagdish Bhai. And we must remember him. We must, because nowadays I have seen that there is very less discussion about him. Actually, if you ask neo-BKs, newcomers, they even have not heard about him. They don't know about who is Jagdish Bhai. They know about Dadis and everybody, but nobody knows about Jagdish Bhai except that his name is on the books, Jagdish Chandar. Okay, so his name is on the book. Even I remember myself when I came in this yajna in 2003. Okay, so I directly came and I met Baba, and my mind was filled with scriptures, Vedanta. The concept of Vedanta, the concept of Brahma and all those, so on and so forth. So emotionally I was convinced, emotionally or with that deep realization, I immediately jumped into this yajna, but my intellect was not ready to accept this strange concept of God entering into a different body. So I had that desire, because I had seen on every book that name is written Jagdish Chandar. So I used to ask everybody, who is this Jagdish Chandar? I want to meet this man. But I used to say, who is Jagdish Chandar? Many people I asked, they said, we don't know what you are talking about. Then one person I asked, who is this Jagdish Chandar? He said, what Jagdish Chandar you are talking about? I said, the same one who has written all the books, and the books it is written. He said, oh, that Jagdish Bhai, he has already left, you are too late. So I was very much sorrowful for that thing, that I couldn't, because I want to debate with him. Because I could not see any other person who could explain this knowledge to me, because who has already read scriptures and who has understanding of spirituality which is existing outside of Brahma Kumaris. Because all these people, they talk of only of Brahma Kumari literature. So I wanted somebody who can tell me this and this. This is this and this is this. So I was very sorrowful. Now who will explain this knowledge to me? And then I could find the three volumes, World Eternal Drama, Part 1, Part 2 and Part 3. But I did not have money to purchase those books that time. So, I didn't know anybody. I just knew only Jagdish Chandar, which was written on that book, on the name Adidev. So that I wanted to talk with him, and because probably this is the only person who can explain me, and I want to debate, I want to argue, I want to quote scriptures and explain him how this is this and how that is that. But people told me, yes, he has left. So I was really, really very much sorrowful. I was too late. I thought, who will now explain to me? But later on I could read this, some of the books, and I could understand. Okay, this is another thing. So today we are going to discuss about, I was actually not at all prepared for to speak on this, because I have not seen him, first thing. Second, those people who have seen him, I have heard few things about him from them. And yes, I remember one more thing. Whilst I was here in 2003, and I was given one service in that Ghumda Firta hospital, that ambulance was there which used to go in the villages, and mobile van, mobile services. So whilst I was doing that service, I remember very, very distinctly and very clearly, one night I had a dream, And in that dream I had seen Jagdish Bhai. And he came and he gave me a certificate. And in that certificate, like, he has praised me and he had said that I am giving you certificate of appreciation. And below his name and his sign was there. So he had given me that certificate in dream in 2004, I think. So I was at least satisfied because I was very discontented with everything, whom I will talk and whom I will discuss. Because I could not find anybody who will sit with me and they will otherwise, you see, you don't have that faith, you don't have nischa, you are talking like this. So I had that fear also. So I could not discuss with anyone. Okay. So, as I said, I was not very much prepared for this topic and I don't know exactly what I have to talk, but I was determined 4 days back that I have to talk on this. Because of that, at least I can read about him more, because I have to prepare. So, something I could prepare, and as I said, I thought of calling this class The Divine 7 Feet Intellect of Sanjay. He was really Sanjay. That Sanjay was the charioteer of that blind Dhritarashtra. This Sanjay is a charioteer of this blind humanity. He was the reciter of Bhagavad Gita. He listened it, he saw it, and he recited it. He was probably the first writer of this institution, the chief spokesman of this institution. So we will discuss few things about him. As I said, I would like to, since it is 12th May, we will decide, we'll divide this, his intellect into 12 types of different intellects he had. I would say, what are the 12 different types of intellect he possessed? The first type of intellect is the seeking intellect. Seeking means, who is searching? Let's go back to his childhood. In his childhood, he was known by the name Rishi. His parents used to call him Rishi. He was born in Multan. Multan is right present in Pakistan. And Multan is a place of, it's known as city of Sufi saints. So it's well known for that. And from this childhood, this young boy Rishi, he was so much in search of ultimate truth. So first is seeking intellect. Even before coming in Gyan, he is a seeker. He was like what we call Khoji. Satyanveshi, he is a seeker of truth. He wants to know the ultimate truth of life. And for this thing in his mind, he read so many scriptures, he went to so many gurus, and so many things. One brother has written such a nice thing about him, that in scriptures, 3 types of rishis are described. Brahma Rishi, Raj Rishi, and Maharshi. So these are the different types of Rishi which are described, and that brother has said that Jagdish Bhai was all these 3. Dev Rishi also. He was all these 3 or 4 things in him. He was a Dev Rishi, he was a Raj Rishi, he was a Brahma Rishi, he was Maharishi, considering his depth of knowledge. So the first intellect he possessed was seeking intellect. He wanted to know, he wanted to search. Even before coming to Brahma Kumaris, he had read almost everything. But his aim was not to become Pandit, his aim was to know the truth. So his thirst for truth was ultimate. So, seeking intellect. Second type of intellect is inquisitive intellect. Inquisitive means jigyasa, what we call in Hindi. That was too deep in him that he wanted to know. First was about the knowing of God, seeking intellect. Second was about knowledge, that was after coming in knowledge. We can divide this into 2 parts. Seeking intellect is before knowledge, and he was earlier, he was born in Multan, and after the partition his father moved to Sonipat, which is in Haryana, and there he grew up, and he joined later on as a principal in some teaching institute in Sonipat, later on which he resigned. Okay, so he used to visit different religious places, and this was the year 1952. 1952-53, somewhere in between. And that time, Kunch Dadi, she used to be in Delhi. And these Dadis, they used to go to Theosophical Society. Theosophical Society is of Annie Besant, who started this Theosophical. Theosophy means study of God and religion and everything. So this Theosophical Society was there. So once, and every third Sunday, Dadi used to go there and give class. And it was once announced that Brahma Kumari sister is going to give practical experience of Raj Yoga. And she spoke for 15-20 minutes Kunja Dadi spoke. And then suddenly some person from the audience raised the hand. And he said, "Sister, you said that you are going to give us practical experience, but you just gave a lecture. You didn't give us a practical experience." So Kunja Dadi said, "Who is this young man?" And she said, "How can I give you experience? You are sitting with the shoes on and you are sitting on chair. For experience, you should sit on floor with cross-legged." So within 10 minutes, this brother arranged everything. He just removed all the chair, he called people, and everything was arranged, and they were made to sit on the carpet, on the floor. So Kunja Dadi had already, because before going to class only, she had said to Dadi Janki, "Please, you come with me, because this time we have to give practical experience." So Dadi Janki said, "Baba and you and I both are taught by Baba the same knowledge, same Rajyog. Why you say that I should accompany?" But he said, "No, I am not going to go alone. You come with me." So Dadi Janki said, "You go first, then I will come." So now she has finished the class, Kunja Dadi, and this brother is saying, "Give us practical experience." And she was just, within her mind, she was anxious that Dadi Janki is not come. And that brother had finished arranging the things. So Dadi Janki came. And Dadi Janki and they sat together and they gave 15 minutes, not a commentary, but they talked on, Dadi Janki talked on Raj Yoga. And this brother, and then they said, "Anybody has to share the experience." So this brother, he said, "Yes, for the first time I felt that some power is there. And can I know more about Raj Yoga?" So Kunja Dadi said, "Yes, you need to do a course, 7-day course for this. So you come to this particular center, Kamalanagar center. You come there, we will give you course." So Kunja Dadi says that every day I sat with him for about, his course continued for total 1.5 years. And every day, 7 days it was actually, but every day almost 2 hours she has to sit with him, because he had, as I said, inquisitive intellect. Second type of intellect is inquisitive. He wanted to understand this knowledge, the clarity of this knowledge. So, and he was like, they used to tell him, "No, so soul is like this thumb." Then he used to say, "Whose thumb? Your thumb or my thumb?" So he had that, he was very sharp, very, very sharp, because he had read scriptures and he wanted to know truth. So he came there, and every day he used to ask different questions, new questions. And then Kunja Dadi used to, Didi was there, Kunja Dadi was there, and then they had to sit, and even Janki Dadi sometimes, whatever question this brother has asked, they had to sit together and churn about it, so that they can give proper answer to this brother, because this brother was strange. He would not leave them. He was continuously forcing and asking this question, that question, about everything. He had so many doubts about everything. And he would not leave unless and until you give the correct answer. And once Kunja Dadi even said, when he asked Dadi Janki some question which was not very much comfortable question, he used to ask tough questions. So Kunja Dadi explained to him, "Dadi Janki is so senior, why you are asking such questions to him?" He said, "I want to know the truth. So I don't care whether somebody feels bad, but I want to know the truth." So on the 5th day of the course was a 7th day, on the 5th day of the course, Kunja Dadi told, now this is a very important story, on the 5th day of his course, Kunja Dadi told him that there is one maxim, mirror. In that mirror, they have written that Brahma Kumaris are part of Christianity, or they are propagating Christianity. So what to do? Somebody, Jagdish Bhai, you are there. Can you write an article showing, because we don't know Hindi so well, all Dadis. We don't know writing Hindi so well. They are coming from Sindh and they know Sindhi. So can you write an article so that we can convince that publisher of that magazine, The Mirror, ki this Brahma Kumaris are different. This is Ishwariya, not Isai. Ishwariya and Isai, these are similar words, but this is different. So Jagdish Bhai said, Kunja Dadi said, "Today we will not do the course. You write this article." So he said, "No, I will write the article, but we will do the course also." So that was how his writing started. the first article he wrote for this yajna, that in 1953, he wrote the first article for the Mirror, where he clarified all the misunderstanding by that publisher of the magazine, the editor of the magazine Mirror, or magazine or newspaper, I think. And that magazine, that editor or that publisher, he also came to the center and he liked the Gyan so much. Okay, so that was the fifth day his writing started. He finished the course seventh day. And on the seventh day, Kunj Dadi told him that God, the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Father, Supreme Sadguru, he comes every day at Amrit Vela to teach Raj Yoga. So he asked what time he comes in Amrit Vela. So she told 4 o'clock. And he used to live about 18 miles away and he had a single bicycle. And on that particular day, his bicycle was taken away by his brother. He had three brothers. He was the youngest, I think. So three brothers were there. One was engineering, one was chartered accountant, and one was something else. So three brothers. So he started from his home at 1 o'clock in the morning because he had to reach at 4 o'clock. And he arrived at 3:15. And there was a knock at the door. And Didi was saying, Didi and Kunj Dadi, they used to stay together. And Didi was saying, who is this? At this time, Kunj Dadi said that I told that brother, Jagdish. He said that, Jagdish brother, he said that he wants to see. He wants to have yoga early in the morning. Because God is coming, it was Sadguruvar. So probably it is he. And she says, who is it? He says, Jagdish. They open the door and this man is there. And he sits in front. And Didi conducts yoga for him. But during the yoga, he feels drowsy, sleepy. Okay? During the yoga, he is drowsy because he came walking all the way. He started at 1 o'clock, reached at 3:15. So he is little drowsy. After the yoga finishes, so Kunj Dadi, because she cannot say directly that you were sleeping, she sees that, Jagdish Bhai, you directly went to Paramdham without going to Sukshma Vatan. He then explains that, yes, you are right. Now you conduct again yoga for me because I was sleepy because I came walking all the time. That's why I was tired. But now you do it again for me. So it's okay. Then she does it. So 7 days finish. And after one month, okay, then one more thing happens here. There is Janmashtami program. And they wanted somebody to write an article for that Janmashtami. And they request, can you write? So he says, okay. Before even that, like 1 month has passed and everybody is preparing to go to Madhuban. He says, I want to go to Madhuban. He says, no, you don't go to Madhuban. There is Janmashtami program. You have to take care of that. So so he asks, how many people are expected? Somebody says 100, 200. So he said, can we write something and distribute the pamphlet to everybody? So he says, yes, I can write. It is his idea only. And that was the first article written by him, and that goes to newspaper and is published. And that news also reaches Baba here in Madhuban. And Baba is very much happy for that, because till now such a thing nobody has done. And he is the only person who knew about all the religions, who knew both language, Hindi as well as English. Because till now there was no other person who had such knowledge of languages, who had such knowledge of writing, because writing skills not everybody possesses, and he has that uber quality, that superb writing skills. His handwriting is also very good, once Rakesh Bhai had shown here. So he writes that article, and the article reaches here, and Baba is very happy, and he says that, yes, I want to go to Madhuban. Didi says, no, you have to stay here. And one more thing, they said that you have to give that letter of faith, Nishchay Patra, and you have to write it 108 times. So Jagdish Bhai said 108 times, but how it is to be written? Kunj Dadi explains it. You have to write. You don't know how to writing? I will tell you. You have to write this. Shiv Baba is Amarnath and he is giving us this. He is taking us to the land of immortality. Shiv Baba is Somnath and he is making us drink Somras and so on and so forth. This way you have to write Nishchay Patra, letter of faith, for 100 times. He says, okay, I will write. And so he comes next day and written. And he shows to Kunj Dadi, this is what is Nishchay Patra, and Kunj Dadi is quite happy, and she takes the Nishchay Patra to that Manmohini Didi. Manmohini Didi is a judge. She is not going to accept things like that. So she reads and she counts, and she says, Kunj, you are just giving favors to him. You are partial. You are siding with him. It is 27 times only. So Kunjdhari says, oh, he has deceived me. So he confronts Jagdish Bhai, and she goes, Jagdish Bhai, you said you have written 108 times, it is only 27 times. He says, have you looked at the back? It is written here, 27 into 4. So it is, read it 4 times, 24, read it 4 times, it becomes 108. So she goes back to Didi, and Didi says, no, this will not work. He asks him to write 108 times, and otherwise I am not going to give him permission. Then he comes back to Didi and says that, Kunjdhari says, give him, no, he is a Kumar, and he has already taken 1 month leave, so you must give him permission. He says, she says, no, I am not going to give him. So Jagdish Bhai himself comes and says, please give me permission, what you are talking of 108 times, I can write 1 lakh times after coming from Madhuban. Not now, but give me permission now. And he says that I have already written an article and it is published in this newspaper on Janmashtami. So somehow he gets the permission. But Didi instructs Kunj. Kunj Dadi, please take care of this brother, he is very clever. If there comes doubt in his faith, he will shake the entire Delhi against Brahma Kumaris if he becomes doubtful. But if he becomes Nishya Buddhi, if he becomes a very real child of Baba, then probably he will go very ahead in this yagya. So with this, they come here, Kunjdadi, Manmohini Didi also, and Jagdish Bhai, they arrive in Madhuban for the first time. That was 1 month after his course. And here, in Madhuban, as soon as he goes in front of Baba, he starts crying and he meets Baba crying. So many people come. There are 3 people had come: Avinash Chandra, Jagdish Chandra, and one more Chandra. One more brother is there. 3 brothers come to meet Baba during that time. Those others 2, they left the gyan. Only one Jagdish Chandra stays. 3 Chandra. Yeah, that is later, little later on. So this is now this first term. So he meets Baba, he cries, and that within that first meeting only he develops a deep faith, and Kunjdadi is convinced that she has given birth to a very good child. So this was like I was talking about inquisitive intellect. The first was seeking intellect, this was inquisitive intellect. Intellect that wants to know the truth, that is not satisfied with superficial knowledge, that is not satisfied you read this and that sort. No, he wants to know why it is this, why it is that, why God comes only in Brahma. He wants to know, he has these intellectual questions in his heart. He is not satisfied so easily. So that is the second type of intellect. Third type of intellect is dedicated intellect. Third type of intellect is dedicated intellect. He is the first surrendered, officially you can say, surrendered brother Brahma Kumaris. And look at his dedication. The moment he had this faith in Baba, he gave up his job as a principal. He was the principal of some teaching institute of Sonipat. He gives up that job. His level of dedication is so high. At every point, right from the time he came in Gyan till the age of 71, when he left the body, this entire period of 71 years, he had said one that I have done the work of about 100 years in this 71 years while she was sick. So this entire period is as if a saga of dedication, of surrender. Not a show, but a real surrender. A real surrender where everything was for Baba. Everything was for Baba. Every movement, every time, he had only yagya in his intellect, in his mind, in his heart. How to expand this yagya? Total devotion, total dedication, total renunciation, so many things were involved in this. So, dedicated intellect, that is the third type of intellect. Fourth type of intellect is broad intellect. Broad means very vast. Baba says broad, that's why Baba has used the word 7 feet. 7 feet long intellect he had. Here a broad intellect, broad, because he used to look at one thing from different angles. If there is a story that Mamma is asking something, some planning is going on, and he says that if this is done, of this 10 benefits are there and 15 disadvantages. So Mamma used to say, how do you know 15 disadvantages? We have yet not started the discussion, but you already know about 15 disadvantages and 10 advantages of this particular thing. So he had a very broad intellect, very pervasive intellect. He he used to look at things from so many different angles, and he used to think like, if this service is started, how this service will progress, how this service will go ahead, so many things about that. So a broad intellect, intellect, comprehensive intellect, which takes into consideration all aspects of the situation. Trikaldarshi, one who is in Trikaldarshi sthiti or stage, knower of three aspects of time, can alone have such an intellect, a broad intellect. Just as Sanjay is shown in Mahabharata, he is very much impartial. He is just telling what is happening, because he has that intellect. Even he can see that Arjuna, the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita is Vishad Yoga. Arjuna is in the state of depression. To know that Arjuna, such a great warrior, is in the state of depression, a higher intellect is required even. So that Sanjay, you could judge, yes, this is the way things are happening with Arjuna, and how Shri Krishna is convincing, and he is so impartial. So this is actually a part of broad intellect only. So Jagdish Bhai had that sort of broad intellect. So that is fourth. Fifth type of intellect is creative intellect. He had creative intellect. If you look at yajna and yajna services, most of the services in yajna are initiated by him. This writing books, articles, conducting seminars, workshops, arranging conferences, international conferences, and most importantly, this wings. Wings. When in there was a, this period from 1972 to 83, you know, this is a very crucial period, and here the services expanded. So there was once Murli, I think Rajini or Santosh Ben has recounted that, that Baba had said in the Murli to bring creativity, to bring people from different branches. For 2 years he worked very hard and calling people, writing letters of different branches, media, medical and this and that, and after that only these all services, all this wings started. So he was instrumental in starting all this wings services, Vargikaran Baba calls it. Yeah, so this knowledge, see, if had Sanjay not been there in Mahabharata, whatever is shown, Shri Krishna is telling to Arjuna, that would have been lost. So it was like told by, retold, recited by Sanjay. Here, God has told so many things, but it has been written in a very simple language by Jagdish Bhai. Very simple language, so that everybody should understand it. So it was, this work was done by this. Now we have so many speakers in yajna, but all those have understood this knowledge more by reading literature, whatever he has written. And even now, somebody was telling, people are doing research on whatever he has written, and they find that, like this book, World Eternal Drama, there are about 16 different scientists, so many people are working on that, and so many names of so many researches are there on that. And now they understand this, what a great this man must have been, who has written all these things after he has passed away. After this, now they are one, whatever he has written. So this is a creative intellect. He wanted to bring creativity everywhere. There was one brother, when the service started in Russia, he told that brother to learn Russian. Vijay Bhai. He told him to learn Russian. Okay? Harish Bhai, sorry. He told him to learn Russian language. Yeah? Vijay Bhai went there, but it was Harish who did. He took the course, official course in that Russian language, and learned that language officially. So Vijay Bhai is the one who went there for his, he was getting a laukik job there, and from there the services started. So I was just telling, this man was so creative. He not only, he was creative himself, but he was making others creative also. He stimulated that creative intellect of others also. He wanted to bring newness everywhere, in the form of conferences, seminars, workshops, and new things everywhere. So that is the fifth type of intellect. Sixth type of intellect is clean and clear intellect he had. His intellect was clean and clear. Only a person who has a clean and clear intellect can write such things. Otherwise it's not possible. If you study whatever he has written, the depth of knowledge which is there, it's very clear, as if Baba is personally telling him to this, to that, that. That is, he was chosen. And he has mentioned somewhere that from 1950 till about 1960, every day is Murli, which are not published. Baba has taken his name in Murli. He himself has said that Baba used to take his name and Baba used to tell him, do this, do that, do this, do that. So that spirit was there. So clean heart and clean and clear intellect. Because such an intellect which is unstained by worldly duck, worldly mud, worldly muck, worldly vices can be so pure, such a pure intellect can only dedicate oneself to dedicate itself to this yajna so wholeheartedly. So that is the type of intellect. Sixth, seventh type of intellect is tireless intellect. He used to write and write and write and write and write and write without tiring. And the story of the writing, as somebody was telling, that everybody knows, it started way back when he had come in Madhuban and four other brothers were there and Baba had told them to write a letter to Prime Minister or President, I think, in Hindi as well as English. The circumstances were same for all of them. Light had gone, but still he went and wrote on that street light. And next day even Baba did not ask and they went to mountain and they came back. Even he did not ask. And then later on when he was asked, Baba asked, who has written? So Jagdish Bhai was the only person who wrote. So that was like an obedience he showed. And because he thought it is the first time God has given me this work. And then Baba blessed him that you would be the chief spokesman of this institution. Okay. So he had that tireless intellect. He would write and write and write and write untiringly. He used to sit on that upper floor and where people would not disturb him, no matter which weather it is. But he wanted solitude and he wanted to write. Because he felt that it is through writing only he is going to reveal Baba. And this is writing became such an important part of this yajna later on. Because that time there were no other writer. So he wrote in more than 150 books in Hindi, English and some books in Urdu also. So tireless intellect. That is eighth. Seventh. Then eighth is sharp intellect. Eighth is sharp intellect. He had a very penetrating and sharp intellect. He could understand, just as in Mahabharata it is shown that Sanjay was chosen as a messenger by Dhritarashtra to be sent to the Kauravas to carry a very bitter message that we are not going to give you any land, accept it. This. So it was an uncomfortable job. Here also whenever there used to be any fight in any center, it was Jagdish Bhai who was sent. Because he was the only person capable of handling that situation, that difficult, adverse circumstances. So he was sent always by Baba. So because he had a very sharp intellect who could see through and through the situations. You can analyze the situation, understand the situation, how to solve the situation. As regards situation, also as regards knowledge. When they had to explain this knowledge to some difficult person, they used to send Jagdish Bhai. Because he had read almost everything and he had understood, because there is one more thing he himself has said somewhere. When Baba said this for the first time that you would be the chief spokesman of this institution, he felt upon him a great responsibility. Now, if I have to explain this knowledge to others, I must understand it myself. And because of this reason also he developed that sharp intellect, a very sharp intellect. And sharp intellect happens because of lot of churning this knowledge, going in solitude, seeking silence, that introversion. So sharp intellect and also sharp in writing. He was so sharp in writing that once Baba said that Shivratri is approaching, just few days are remaining, you go and publish books, a small pamphlet. So from where to publish? Chakradhari sister recounts that we did not know anybody, nor a printing press, nor papers we had. So he first of all went to a person who was selling papers. And he convinced him. He was not ready to give papers, but he convinced him to give papers because this is a godly work. Then he went to the printing press. The printing man says that, no, I am very busy. I am already so much work I have. I am not going to do your work. He just sat there and he convinced him that you have to do this. Please help us. And then what he did is, he said that he sat there only in the printing press and he wrote and he just handed over the book papers to that man for printing. So just imagine sitting in a printing press in that noisy atmosphere, he can write. and give without even this thing checking how confident he must be in of his writing. He is writing and just handing over paper after paper to the printing man, and he is printing it, and that got book got printed. So that sort of, and also so much dedication is reflected. So I was thinking, talking about sharp intellect. Then ninth is balanced intellect. Balanced intellect. He had balance about everything. He was very serious, but at the same time he was very entertaining also. He used to talk, comment a lot about his bald head. There is one video, no? Everybody must have seen that. It is a silver anniversary of the Yajna, and he is saying that if these sisters, Gulzar Dadi and Prakashmani Dadi, are sitting, if they can keep hand on my, if they touch, okay, even if they don't touch me, I don't have hairs, so that will penetrate their blessings. So he was, you know, entertaining also, and he was serious also. If you hear his lectures on God, part 1, part 2, part 3, English lectures are there, yeah. There's a one very good video. There's a movie on Jagdish Bhai. In that movie, the last part of the movie, ending part of the movie, he is shown dancing with brother Ramesh. And very good song, Hindi song, is being played, and he is dancing with brother Ramesh. Sister Jayanti is watching, and all are there, and they both are dancing. So he was entertaining also most of the time. He was a poet also. He used to narrate, compose poetry and narrate it, and actually used to sing it. Okay. So he had this balanced intellect, balance about everything in life, about everything, not just of this, also about love and law and many things. So ninth is balance. Tenth is he had loving intellect. Even though he was like this, but he had lot of love for this yajna. He wanted to reveal Baba anyhow. Love for Baba, love for yajna, and lot of love for all the sisters especially. Love for Murli. Love for family, yajna, everybody. For family, for Murli. It is said that how he used to travel for listening to Murli coming from such a long distance. Once Brother Amir Chand had said that he had traveled by that train. What is that? Coal train. You know, that carries coal. So he came in that freight train. Freight train it is known as. So he came sitting on that freight train just for listening to Murli. So intense love for Baba. Intense love for Murli. Intense love for this yajna. Intense love for this family. And he wanted to develop the intellect of each and every Brahmin. He wanted to them their intellect to develop. He taught so many sisters. While she was in Delhi, there used to be a separate Murli class. What is that class known as? For mothers. He taught them how to give speeches. So that was also training he gave. So he had that loving intellect, and out of that love only he did everything. 11th type of intellect is? Yeah, he taught almost everybody, because these dadis, they had come from a different background. They had come from Sindhi background. They did not got educated as much as this brother was. He was the first brother who was so much educated, who knew so many languages. And because of this, and he had that much love, that much faith in everything of yajna. That's why he became, he earned the love of all the dadis. And he became instrument in teaching many things to many people of this yajna. 11th type of intellect is humble intellect. Even though he knew so much, the real greatness lies in his humility. He had that humility that he used to respect sisters so much. There is one thing in Om Shanti Bhavan, when Jagdish Bhai was there once, he was giving speech, and he said that all younger sisters were there. If any sister does this homework, I will reward her. Okay, he said this. If any younger sister, so there was one small younger sister, and she did that homework. And then she went to his room. I don't know where she used to stay, Sadarshan or somewhere. So that sister went and knocked. And he thought that this must be the same sister who had come directly to his room. He opened the door, and that sister said, "I have done the homework. Where is my gift?" So what he did, very lovingly he took a plate and he prepared the toli on that with lot of love, though she was a very senior junior sister, and this is such a senior most brother of the yagya. But with all that love and all that, he gave to that sister, and now that sister has become in charge of some zonal in charge somewhere, and she always tells about the story, and you know, she's just about to cry when she narrates this. So he had a deep sense of humility. He had so much respect for all the dadis, so much respect for all the sisters. He had the highest respect for Prajapita Brahma and highest respect for Mama, for all of these luminaries of yagya. He had so much respect, and that speaks of his greatness. A person is great not because he wrote so many books. A person is great not because he used to say that I am not a very great writer. He has said this many times. I am not a very great writer. There are so many good writers in the world. It's Baba who is touching my intellect and I write. But I am not in fact a very great writer. He thus used to say. But if you see his writings, he has written about philosophy, he has written about music, he has written about scriptures, he has written about geography, he has written about history. Almost everything he has covered. His knowledge of science was absolute. He used to go to different scientific conferences and talk on scientific topics. So he, in spite of, but this is still not a greatness. His greatness is his humility. His greatness is his humility. So 11th type of intellect is humble intellect. And 12th, last type of intellect is unique intellect. Unique intellect. Santosh Men of Russia has said that just as there is only one Brahma, just as there is only one Mama, and just as there is only one Dadi Prakashmani, in the similar manner, there is only one Jagdishbhai. Nobody can even come near him. So, actually in this drama, everybody is unique, everybody is special, but this soul is unique, means in the sense that nobody can even do what he did. He is one of his kind, a specially made soul. In this entire yagya, nobody, none, even for generations to come, can equal this man. And they will wonder who was this. And probably I sometimes feel that we have not yet understood him. Or right, we don't understand his importance in this yagya. Because as the time passes, things change, time changes, yagya changes, everything changes. But whatever his classes are there, his voice is there, and whatever he did for this yagya, his life is a saga of dedication, of surrender, of selflessness. He is the only person. you should write it down, this statement. He is the only person in this yagya who did not misuse any resources. He is the only person in this yagya who did not misuse a single resource of this yagya. If you look at others, they are utilizing so many things for themselves. He is the person who did not want AC. He did not want AC. He is the only person who used to carry thread and needle with him. He is the only person who preferred to stay in the same room. He did not want to change room. He is the only person who preferred to die, to leave the body in such an ordinary manner. He did not want to get shifted. He did not want to so many things to be tried on him. He only concern was not a single money pie should be spent on me. Everything should be for Baba. And at the end, time is getting up. His one statement, which is so poignant, which is so heart touching, that when he was sick, he said that I could not reveal Baba. So that is the extent of his humility, his uniqueness, his special importance in this yagya. So he's a great soul who was there in flesh and blood on this earth, who ever walked, and as is said of a great writer, they never die. They are present in the hearts of their readers. It is said in English that great writers never die, they are present in the heart of their readers so long as they continue to read. So this is the greatest and the greatest of all the souls, who can never be replaced. It is irreplaceable part, the greatest part in this yagya. So we discussed about 12 different types of intellect. We'll revise and we'll end the class. First is seeking intellect. Second is inquisitive intellect, the jigyasu. Third is Dedicated intellect. Fourth is broad intellect. Fifth is creative intellect. Sixth is clean and clear. Seventh is tireless. Eighth is sharp intellect. Ninth is balanced intellect. Tenth is loving intellect. 11th is humble intellect. And 12th is unique intellect. These are the 12 different types of intellect, and that what entire these 12 things make a divine intellect, which is 7 feet long. Baba used to say 12 feet. It has become 12 feet. Baba has said it is a 7 feet, but it has become 12 feet long intellect. So today on his Smriti Divas, on his day of remembrance, let us try to imitate him, let us try to follow him, let us try to be as he was, the embodiment of Tyag, the embodiment of Tapasya, the embodiment of Yoga. Let's try to become like him. Om Shanti.